All right. Once again, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank y'all for having us, for your grand hospitality. Yes, sir, I do. Thank you. I'll get the cotton mouth in a heartbeat. We'll begin in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 3 this evening. 1 Samuel 20, verse 3. I'd say it's been quite a pleasure to be with y'all both this time and the last. It's such a sweet spirit in here. Certainly makes preaching a whole lot easier. 1 Samuel chapter 20. 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 3. Actually, let's begin in verse 1. The Bible says, "And David fled from Naioth and Ramah, and came and said before Jonathan, 'What have I done? What is mine iniquity and what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life?' And he said unto him, 'God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so.' And David sware moreover and said, 'Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes.' And he saith, 'Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death.'" Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Lord, as I come to you again, I ask that you please, Lord, come and meet with us this evening. Lord, set your power upon me and use me as you see fit. Speak to your people, Lord, the words that you'd have them hear. Thank you for all you've done and all you're about to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'd like to focus on the latter part of verse 3. There is but a step between me and death. A step between me and death. Now, we went over this morning, we preached on hell. We all know that all men die. We know that it don't matter if you're young or you're old, if you're rich or if you're poor. At some point or another, you're going to die. Well, you can also die spiritually. Now, I'm not talking about going to heaven or hell, right? We understand that going to hell is both a physical and a spiritual death, and you're there for all eternity. That's not what we're preaching on. But rather, to those that are born again, you can lose your spirituality. And you can be dead in your trespasses and sins. You get what I'm saying? The Lord will save you. You ain't got to worry about whether you're going to heaven or not, but you can interfere with that fellowship with the Lord. And you can be walking around just no better than a dead man. Everybody tracking? Amen. All right. We're going to be preaching on the symptoms of a dying Christian. The symptoms of a dying Christian. First of all, you'll notice that there is a loss of appetite. Now then, we ain't going to turn to these two for the sake of time, but over in Revelation chapter 10, verses 8 and 10, speaks of John taking the book and eating it. And it said it was sweet like honey and bitter in his stomach. Same thing happened in Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 8 and 10. Over in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, it talks about desiring the sincere milk of the Word. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Hebrews 10, verse 25 says, "Forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." 2 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." All of these are things that your soul and your spirit should desire to take part in, right? It's spiritual meat. Now then, if we need, the Bible says, "Man shall not live by bread alone," right? Look, it don't matter if you got a belly full this morning, you ain't going to be able to survive off that belly full from this morning's service tomorrow. Right? You're going to have to feed yourself along the way. Man shall not live by bread alone. I can go to a Longhorn Steakhouse and get me the Outlaw Ribeye, and it's about big as around my face, and it's good. And I can get that thing cooked medium, and it's mighty tasty, right? And I can eat a whole loaf of bread that they set down in front of me, and I can lather that thing in butter. And buddy, my mouth is watering now thinking about it. And I can eat that thing, and I'll be stuffed for that meal and probably for breakfast. But come lunch, I'm going to be hungry. Come supper, I'm going to need something else to eat. It's the same thing in your Christian walk. You've got to keep yourself fed if you're going to stay a healthy Christian. If you don't want to die spiritually, you don't want to kill that fellowship that takes place between you and the Lord, you're going to have to keep yourself fed. And how do we do that? Well, the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And where do we find that word? Right here in the Bible that we hold in our hand. It ain't hard. You open it up and you begin to read. I ain't saying it's all easy to read. You get over in the Chronicles and, buddy, that's tough. And so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so. And you're sitting there going, oh, Lord God, how am I going to get through this one? And you've managed to get through one chapter of it, and it's like, I'm going to have to read a week of Psalms to make up for that one chapter right there. Because it's, buddy, it's tough, right? But it's in there for a reason. Sometimes it ain't fun to read it, but you got to muscle through it anyway because it's your duty to do so. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now then, it said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Lord said, do it, therefore it is our duty to do it. It's also for our own benefit. If you don't stay in it, you're going to starve to death. You can have the greatest of all preachers as a pastor, as a visiting preacher, as an evangelist, and come in, he can preach the greatest revival you've ever heard preached. He can come in and preach the greatest Sunday morning sermon you've ever heard preached, and they can do it consistently, right? But if you don't get in that book yourself, you're still going to find yourself hungry and needing more, right? Look here, I don't know about y'all, but I can go without breakfast. I have to have lunch, and then I'm going to have supper. There's no way around it. After a hard day's work, I'm already dreading tomorrow. Me and Brother Randy were talking about it earlier. It's going to be 110 degrees tomorrow. If it ain't, it's going to feel like it, right? I'm going to have to read meters, at least 200 of them. They're going to be full of black widows and all sorts of fire ants, snakes, and all that other junk. I got to fight them off with that stick and fight the dogs and run from them, all that junk. I hate it, right? And it's going to be hot. I'm going to need something to eat that evening. My wife will have me a nice supper cooked, won't you, baby? Exactly. Big old deer roast. Be wonderful with pepperoncinis. I'm just hint, hint. All right? You got to eat in order to keep yourself healthy. We all know that. You know a sick person that's ever just lost their appetite? I've heard that's the thing with COVID for some people. I don't know about all of them, but for some of them, they lose their appetite. And they got to force themselves to eat anyway. Brother Hunter had it way on several months ago. And he lost all his taste. He said, there ain't even no point in eating. Well, there is. You got to stay healthy. He said he didn't know the difference between Dr. Pepper and water other than the Dr. Pepper fizzed in his mouth. I mean, man, that's got to be miserable not knowing what a Dr. Pepper tastes like. But he kept on eating anyway. He'd eat stuff that he didn't even like because he couldn't taste it no more. He said, well, it's healthy. I might as well go ahead and choke it down. All right? You're going to have to keep yourself fed in this book. You're also going to have to keep on going to the church house. The Bible says, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It don't matter how much you want to go or don't want to go, you still got to get yourself up and in those doors back there and sit down and hear the Word of God preached. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You're going to have to hear it preached if you want your faith built. Yeah, it can be built by reading too, but it's really going to start to get somewhere by preaching. You say, well, that don't make no sense. Look, I can't tell you why that's the case, but the Lord decided that He was going to choose the foolishness of preaching to confound the wise, to confound the mighty, all those other people, right? He chose preaching. You got to come in and hear some preaching. You say, well, man, Sunday morning just don't seem like enough. They got YouTube and all sorts of other stuff now, and you can pull it up on your phone and say, oh, there's some good preaching. There's Jack Hiles. There's Peter Ruckman. There's David Peacock. There's this one and that one. You can pull them up. Clarence Sexton, right there in your hand. And you can listen to more preaching through the week and build your faith up. But you're going to have to listen. You got to. Or you'll starve to death. Then the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Again, I ain't saying prayer is always easy, but you got to do it. You got to do it. You want to stay healthy, you're going to have to pray. If you feel like you've had a loss of appetite lately, it's the first symptom of a dying Christian. Now, sometimes it's just a phase you go through. You might be going through a desert. But a lot of times it can also be an indicator of what's to come. Maybe you get to doing a self-examination and you find, man, I ain't been reading my Bible consistently over the last month. You know, I haven't prayed like I used to. I've been missing church an awful lot. And after that self-examination, you start to find that, no, it's not just a dry spell because the Lord's letting me go through a desert for a time, but rather, I haven't been eating properly. I haven't been taking in the right kind of diet. Instead of reading the Bible, I've been reading Field and Stream. Instead of watching preaching on YouTube, you've been watching NCIS or the evening news, CNN or Fox, whatever your thing is, or the outdoor channel, right? Maybe it's the Olympic Games. Oh man, it's the Olympics. I only come once every 4 years. I'm going to watch them and neglect my Bible for the next 2 weeks. Well, that ain't going to do you any good, right? You've got to have a proper diet. Even when you don't feel like getting up and going, you're just going to have to go anyway. I remember listening to my granddad. My granddad was like the Energizer Bunny. I ain't kidding. He was very sickly. He had COPD. He smoked a whole lot, right? Even after he was diagnosed with it. He had kidney failure and all sorts of stuff. And I remember him and a bunch of the old men he run around with, they were talking about a mutual friend that had gotten sick and died out of nowhere. And they were talking and they said, yeah, it's because she stopped doing. I was sitting there thinking, what are they talking about? They said, yeah, they stopped doing. If you stop doing, buddy, you die. I was like, man. Well, we got in the truck alone. I said, Paul, what you talking about? That woman stopped doing and died. He said, why do you think I run these rabbit dogs? He loved rabbit hunting. He didn't feel like it. He didn't ever shoot a rabbit as long as I remember going with him. He just had a bunch of beagles. He would turn them loose, put out his chair, and drink coffee for 2 hours. After 2 hours, he'd call the dogs off the rabbit so he could run the same rabbit the next day, put the dogs back in the box, and go to the house. He'd say, I run them dogs just so I can do something. He said, the moment I stop doing something, I will die. He said, it's that way with anybody. He said, if you quit living, you die. He said, that lady retired or whatever had happened. She stayed at home all day, every day, and within the year, she was dead. I said, man. He said, I don't feel like hunting today. He said, but I don't want to die. So we're going rabbit hunting. I said, man. And I got to thinking, you can apply that spiritually. If you stop reading, you die. You stop praying, you die. You stop going to church, you die. You just got to keep on keeping on even when you don't feel like it. All right, number two, you'll find that a dying Christian will start to develop cold feet. The Bible says over in the book of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, Isaiah 40, 31. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. All right, so maybe you've noticed a loss of appetite, and you're like, all right, so I got to get back in my Bible. I got to get back in the church house. I got to get back on my knees, and I'm going to start building my appetite back. Even if I don't feel like eating, I'm going to eat anyway. Perhaps also you've noticed that your feet have went cold. What I mean by that is you've stopped going to spread the gospel. The only way you're going to get the gospel spread is to get up and go do it. Look here, I love to fish. We've talked about it before. I love fishing and I love hunting. You know what I've yet to catch sitting on my living room recliner? A fish. I ain't never done it. I've caught one out of a mud hole once, right? Because the river subsided and left a big old hole. And I said, I just wonder if there's a fish in this mud hole so I can say I've done it. And there was. Glory to God. I can say I caught one from a mud hole. But I have yet to successfully catch one out of my recliner. Unless you're one of them rednecks that hook up a trolling motor to your couch and somehow float it down the river. Okay? You're the exception to the rule. You can't catch one out of your living room. It can't be done. I have never shot a deer from my kitchen window. I know people that have, but it's an exception to the rule, and that's not what we're talking about. I killed a big old giant last year, and the only reason I killed him was because I was sleepy and I didn't want to get up no way, and it was cold and the wind was howling. But as I laid in my bed and I barely opened my eyes, I said, I cannot shoot him from the bed. I can't do it. So I got up, I put on my clothes, and me and my buddy, we got in the truck, and we went to Holland's management area, and it was miserable. And I sat there, and the wind howled all day long, and it was freezing. If the wind had ever stopped, I'd been all right. But I was done cold to the bone. You know what I'm talking about? And I said, this is stupid. Ain't no one with enough sense to walk this dumb. Jacob, it's time to go. I done told myself that about 15 or 20 times. My buddy was sitting in a tree on the next ridge, and I knew he wasn't as dedicated as I was. It would take no talking him into it. All I'd had to say is, let's go to the huddle house. And he'd been there. And I said, no, I can't shoot him if I ain't sitting here. And I shot the biggest deer I've ever shot. But it's only because I was out there with them. I ain't never found deer by just walking randomly. Ooh, doo-doo-doo, I'm going to go walking through the woods. Hey, look at here. Here's a tree. Let me sit down and shoot something. Right? There's always something there to let you know there's a deer present. If you're going to go win souls, you got to go where they're at. Right? You ain't going to win somebody to the Lord sitting on a church pew most of the time. Look here, it's great and wonderful to bring lost folks to the church house. It's a wonderful thing. You should do it so they can hear the preaching of the gospel. But really, there's supposed to be one out there and then brought in here. You ain't going to win nobody sitting on your keister. It ain't going to be done. You're going to have to get up and you're going to have to go to them if you want to win somebody for Jesus. You'll find a dying Christian. Most of the time, it was those that, buddy, they were on fire for God. And if there was a moment that they could get up and go share a gospel tract, they might have been like me and can't half talk plain whenever somebody standing there in front of you. Right? They feel sorry for me. They probably think I'm special. Right? Standing there. And they'll finally take it. Well, glory to God, some folks, they got it. Y'all met Brother Reed. Brother Reed can walk up. I've watched him do it. Hey, man, this thing will tell you about Jesus so you don't go to hell. And they'll say, well, thank you very much. I walk up and say, hey, man, you don't want to go to hell, do you? And I get cussed. Brother Reed's got something else going on. I don't know what it is. I really envy him on that, right? But I can hand out a gospel tract. I watched Brother Reed walk up and tell folks like, right straight to their face. Hey, man, you don't want to go to hell, do you? We've been preaching on a street corner. Some dude come driving by, looked like a peacock with all that hair standing up right here, right? He went to revving the engine. Brother Reed went to preaching. You're going to die and burn in hell if you don't accept Jesus. Looking him in the eyes as he's going. I was like, man, you got some guts. What about that? I'm over here. If I do that, I'll get a Coke bottle thrown at me. He's got it, right? Buddy, he's on fire. He wants to tell people about Jesus. He'll pass out tracts. He'll run, tell them to their face. He'll knock on the door. Whatever you tell him you got to do, buddy, he's there to do it. If I ever notice that Brother Reed ain't sharing gospel tracts no more, if I notice that he ain't running up and telling somebody, hey, you're going to die and go to hell, I'll know something is wrong with Brother Reed because his feet have grown cold. Do you know somebody, or perhaps yourself, you used to be quick to share the gospel, and now then you just, not today. Not today. Maybe it's something as simple. I ain't never been good at giving them out in drive-thrus. My wife can. Every time I go to do it, they throw the food at me and then run back inside. Right? I mean, I'm not kidding. That's the way it happens. But if I started noticing that my wife ain't doing that no more, and she can't do it the way she normally does it, I'm going to know, hey, something ain't right. Something, she's growing cold for some reason. Right? Then I'm going to have to check on her. If I notice that I ain't putting a track out in the bathroom or leaving one at the dinner table, I'm going to have to know, hey, man, something ain't right. I prefer to go to parking lots and put them in car windshields. I can get a bunch of them done. I ain't got to talk to very many people. If I notice that I ain't doing that as often as I once did, whoa, buddy, your feet's growing cold. We need to do a self-examination again. There was a man I had to preach his funeral one time. Whether he was saved or lost, I don't know. The family said he had gotten born again. I'm not sure. But I remember he was engaged to my grandmother, and every time we'd try to talk to him, she was lost as well. She'd run in there, and she'd shut us up somehow or another. She'd run us out the house, however she could do it, right? Change the subject. He was dying. And the day he died, we were up at her house cutting the grass or something. And I remember coming out and saying, he's real cold, and we can't warm him up. She said it started at his feet. Before the day was over, Chuck Mundy was dead. And it all started down around the sole of his foot. And they said it slowly worked up his body. And before the day was gone, he was off in eternity. Because his feet grew cold. How was your feet this evening? Are they staying warm from running to spread the gospel? Or are they starting to grow cold from sitting around doing nothing so much? Number three, find over in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. The Bible says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. All right, so we found that one symptom is a loss of appetite. Another is your feet begin to grow cold and spreading the gospel. Number three, you'll find that your mind has grown carnal. Your mind has grown carnal. Now, and to be carnally minded means the opposite of being spiritually minded. If you're spiritually minded, you're thinking of, oh, what a Savior. You're thinking of amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. It's songs like that. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in Thee. That's to be spiritually minded. The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Right? To be spiritually minded would be sitting there thinking, how can I spread the gospel to more people? How can I try to win more souls? How can I spend more time in prayer? Or perhaps that's being in prayer. Sitting there, the Bible says pray without ceasing. We already went over that. If you're driving down the road and you're talking to the Lord. Lord, I'm on my way to the grocery store. Keep me safe. Let's see. Help me remember. I got to get a dozen eggs and a gallon of milk, and I got to do this and I got to do that. Why not? It's the Lord. He cares. If He didn't, I wouldn't have killed that big old buck. Right? Because I don't know if I told you, I prayed over it. I said, Lord, where should I hunt today? And He said, on top of that hill. And I said, yes, sir. And I won't tell you the whole story, but I shouldn't have been able to get over there. We thought my spot had been taken, and it wasn't. Right? And the Lord allowed me to kill that big old buck. I started noticing that Proverbs 3:6 means a whole lot. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I thought, man, I can't hunt very good. I'd be walking in the woods. Lord, where do I need to hunt today? I'd be going to one spot. He'd say, go over here. All right, go over there. I went to killing a whole lot more deer. I went to catching a whole lot more fish. My freezer stays full of deer meat. We depend on that a lot for our meat, right? Freezer was full this year. And I'd be like, Lord, where do I need to hunt today? You're driving down the road, be spiritually minded. Lord, which way do I need to go to the grocery store? Lord, which way do I need to go to the church today? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It said, all thy ways. Whatever you do, acknowledge him, and he'll direct you. Got a job interview coming up. Lord, how do I need to answer? Do you want me to have this? If you don't let me get it. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's being spiritually minded. Now then, to be carnally minded, instead of singing Rock of Ages, you're singing some hard rock. Right? Instead of singing about the blood of Jesus, you got something else going on in your head. Instead of speaking to yourself of the Rose of Sharon, you're speaking to yourself of Guns and Roses. Right? You got all sorts of different stuff taking place up here. And it's not the things that the Lord would have you be thinking of. Or perhaps you're not thinking of praying, but rather going off and going hunting. Ain't nothing wrong with hunting. I love it. Ain't nothing wrong with fishing in and of itself. But the Bible does speak of, let us lay aside every weight and that sin which doth so easily beset us. Hunting and fishing can become a weight. I don't know what your hobbies are, but whatever it is, it can become a weight and drag you down and cause you to be less productive for the Lord. Your family can be a weight. Your friends can be a weight. It don't matter what it is. Something can get between you and the Lord, and all of a sudden it shifts your focus. And you're no longer thinking about soul winning, but rather, which tree am I going to climb? You're no longer thinking about reading your Bible, but which lake are we going to fish on today? You're no longer thinking about going to the church house, but rather thinking about going to a sporting event somewhere. That's to be carnally minded when it takes place over the Lord. Now, ain't nothing wrong with going watching an Alabama game or watching Auburn get whooped, right? We all know it's the truth. War Eagle anyway. All right? We all know, excuse me, we all know how they are. Man, they horrible. Ain't nothing wrong with it, though. Ain't nothing wrong with going and watching them get whooped by some little old nobody that you ain't never heard of, Mercer. Yeah, Mercer, that's who it was. I watched them nearly lose to Mercer my first year at Auburn. I said, my goodness, how sad is this? This is Mercer. I ain't never heard of them until today, and we about to get whooped. They pulled it off in the last 5 minutes of the last quarter. I said, man, Alabama's going to have their time with you. Right? Ain't nothing wrong with those Alabama-Auburn games. But if you let them take precedence over the Lord, and now then you come into the church house and all you're thinking about is how Bo Nix threw an interception and how mad that made you, rather than what the preacher's preaching, now you've got an issue and you've become carnally minded. If you come into the church house and instead of sitting there thinking about what the preacher's preaching and the songs being sung, you're thinking about, I wonder how many ducks I can shoot tomorrow. Well, now then you have an issue. Ain't nothing wrong with duck hunting. Ain't nothing wrong with shooting a deer or catching a fish. Ain't nothing wrong with going and shooting skeet. Ain't nothing wrong with a football or a baseball game. But if it takes precedence over the Lord Jesus Christ, now then we have an issue. That's being carnally minded. And it's often a symptom of a dying Christian. And then finally, over in Romans 1:16, we'll find that the last symptom of a dying Christian is unresponsiveness to the preaching of the gospel. The Bible says in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Look at here. I would suppose, at least I'd suppose, this is a Sunday night. You normally don't have much lost folks coming to church on Sunday night. And that's going to be your core crowd, Sunday night, Wednesday night, right? So I'm going to assume for a moment that we're all born again. A lot of times you'll find somebody that they've already lost their appetite, and then their feet started growing cold, their mind is turned carnal, and then the last step before they're gone completely is they no longer respond to the preaching of the gospel. I've heard people say before, you could ask them, well, what did the preacher preach on this morning? Oh, just another salvation message. Just another salvation message. Now look at here. Here's the issue with that. If you're here and you're born again, that means that you've experienced that salvation message. You know what takes place when that message has been preached. Now we know the gospel is the preaching that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He lived without sin. He died on a cross for our sins, was buried, and 3 days later rose up from the tomb. Now then He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God in His glory and majesty. And that salvation can be attained through His free gift that He offers to the world. And all you have to do is accept it. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You got to know you're a sinner. You got to know there's a penalty for your sin. Because the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." You got to know that Jesus Christ loved you so much that He died on the cross for your sins. The Bible says, "For God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Then Romans 10:9 lays it out real plain, "But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's the preaching of the gospel. You say, "Yeah, and?" Well, now then you need to check up, because you're exhibiting a symptom of death. Right? That same message should stir your soul as much as it stirs the soul of a lost person. You probably more, because you know what it means. You can think back to the night or the morning you got saved. I can think back to December 1st of 2001 when my dad was pastoring a church and he decided he was going to take the church to some sort of play. I don't know, at another church. And I guess it's what you would call a judgment house. I don't know. All I know is that I was 7 years old and they went to throwing people into hell in that thing. And it was right then and there the Lord said, "You're going to go there too." And to a 7-year-old boy, that was as close to hell as, buddy, that was it right there. In the back corner of, in the front corner of that church, hell was right there, right? And I was like, "Oh my gosh, I'm going to hell." And he had gave the gospel. I'm sitting there freaking out so bad, I ain't heard a word he said. He walked everybody through the sinner's prayer. And just as he said amen, I realized I missed it. And I said, "Oh dear God, I'm going to hell tonight. I missed it." Look, I've done told y'all I ain't good at talking to folks. I mean, I couldn't even ask my teacher a question, and I was homeschooled, right? Well, I was just as bad with my dad, and I'm 7 years old, and we're on our way back to the house. I'm like, "Oh, God, don't let me die. I got to talk to Dad. If we can just get to the house, I can ask him." And we went to eat somewhere, and I was like, "No, why are we stopping to eat?" And I went up, and I was like, "Hey, Daddy, I got to talk to you." He said, "Not now, son." I said, "Daddy, I got to talk to you." And there's all the people of the church, and he said, I said, "No." I was like, "Oh my gosh, what's worse, a whipping or going to hell?" I wasn't sure. Right? It was like, "Man, this is horrible. He's about to whip me, and I'm about to go to hell. I don't know what to do." We finally made it to the house, and I was able to get him alone for a minute. I said, "Daddy, I'm going to hell. How do I get saved?" And he walked me through the plan of salvation. And I can take you into the house right now. It's at my grandmother's house. As soon as you walk through the door, you make a left. You could walk in about 10 paces and stand right there on the left side of the room, and right there is where I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Right, and I can get to thinking about that. Ooh, buddy, it gets good, right? Right then and there, things changed. All for me. Look here, I was miserable. Mom and Dad had divorced. It was a big old stink. I mean, the way me and Brother Jared became stepbrothers was not very pretty, right? It involved a whole lot of church leadership and all that other junk. Man, here I was, miserable. And the Lord came down and saved me, and He took some of that out. He said, "Hey, I tell you what, I'll give you a little bit of joy you ain't known yet." Whew, buddy. He saved my soul from hell. All I knew was I was going to hell. Right? There's that song that says, "But look what God gave me when He saved me from hell. I wasn't asking for a beautiful mansion or the river of life by which I could dwell. All I wanted was rescued from the fire, but look what God gave me when He saved me from hell." Buddy, I am living proof of that. I knew nothing more. I heard some stupid preacher say the other day, or not the other day, it's been a couple years now, he said, "If you just got saved to keep from going to hell, then you never got it." And I said, "Well, buddy, I did. That's all I knew was I was going to hell." I didn't know nothing else. I didn't know there was fellowship to be had with Jesus Christ. I didn't know that there was a mansion waiting on me someday. I didn't know that there was a street of gold or walls of jasper or gates of pearl. I didn't know none of that. All I knew was I was going to hell and that a man named Jesus would keep me from going there. And He did. Now then I can hear that same gospel preached and I can say, yeah, I remember when I done that. Or there can be a lost person in there and you can look around. Every now and then the preacher will have me and Brother Hunter sing an invitation. I don't know why, but I mean, he does. We'll be up there and you can look around and you'll see one, you'll lock eyes, but we'll be elbowing each other. Ain't right there one. But if they'll just break, it's about to be good. Every now and then they'll break. They'll make their way down that aisle. We saw one a while back. She sprinted. I like that one. But she couldn't get there fast enough. Took off in a... I mean, she was had the arms all the way out, right? Hit it like she was sliding in the home plate. But it was good. We were having us a fit. Say, how come? Because we knew what it was like to be in that state. To accept Christ as our Savior and to have Him save our soul. Buddy, that gospel still means a whole awful lot. Even though it's been 20 years since I accepted Christ as my Savior, it still seems like yesterday. And it's still got a hold and it ain't going nowhere. But if you find that somebody can preach that gospel and it means nothing more to you, you need to check up. You need to start examining yourself. Is there some sin there that's separating you and the fellowship of the Lord when you hear that gospel preached? Perhaps you've just gotten sick of it. Maybe you've let somebody steal your joy. It's easy to do. You can have some sorry church members. They probably ain't even born again, right? Be causing that much issue inside of a church. The devil just uses them to get under your skin and the pastor and the assistant pastor and the song leader and everybody else. But you can't do a whole lot about it, right? Sometimes the devil use that to slip in there and just plant a root of bitterness to get you sidetracked. And you notice that preaching don't mean what it used to. It no longer resonates inside your soul. It don't resonate in your mind or your heart. And it don't mean the same that it used to. It's time to check up. How about you this evening? Have you got a loss of appetite? If somebody could come play for just a moment, and I'll turn it back over to Brother Randy. Have you?